You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas.
Lost a couple games this year, but for some reason, you know, for me, this one just hurts, you know, because I know we're better than that team. I know we got more dogs. I know we're better than that team. So, you know, I'm just pissed off that we couldn't pull out the win.
That's the same feeling that the rest of the locker room has, in your opinion?
Yes, I mean, of course, because a lot of competitive guys, we put the work in. You know, we know that we're better than that team.
This is Unnecessary Roughness, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
Right there, you hear Amik Robertson in the Raiders locker room Sunday following the 31-17 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. And loved when we heard from Amik on Monday's show. Love hearing that right there. Just hearing the emotion in his voice. Even though he didn't say a whole lot, he said enough. Let it be known that that loss hit him really hard. And the fact that they really wanted to win that game against the Chiefs. And, of course, every team wants to beat the Chiefs. Hell, every team wants to get a win. But knowing that the Chiefs have been that thorn in the side of the Raiders for so long, knowing that they had an opportunity, they got off to such a great start, 14-0, just like a season ago when they got out to that 17-0 lead and eventually lost that game. Well, they found a way to lose the game on Sunday against Kansas City. You could just tell how much that meant to Amik Robertson, and I could appreciate that, right? I could appreciate the guy that's salty. I could appreciate the guy that's angry. I could appreciate the guy that says, we got dogs in this locker room. I know we're better than them. Regardless of how you feel about that statement. And so many people have been hanging on to that statement. Oh, they're not better than the Chiefs. They don't have more dogs than the Chiefs. Look, for Amik to believe that, and I say it all the time, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else is going to believe in you. You've got to be the biggest fan of yourself. If you're not the fan of you, nobody else is going to be a fan of you. If you don't believe in you, guess what? Nobody's going to believe in you. So I'm not mad at Amik. I really could appreciate that statement. And we met with him, and it was about a minute long, maybe a minute 10 at max. But I think he said all that he needed to say in the Raiders locker room following the loss to the Chiefs. This is Unnecessary Roughness here on Raider Nation Radio 920 on this Tuesday. Excited about the opportunity to be with you for the next 3 hours. Of course, my man Ari's in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. He's making everything go on the wheel of steel. We definitely appreciate him. And I'm at the home studio. We like to call it Studio Q. And, of course, the show is being brought to you by the Jewelers of Las Vegas, as it is each and every day. And, man, I just got to thank the Jewelers of Las Vegas. Real talk. Because they believe in me. They count on me. They put their trust in me and say, you know what? We want to support that show. We want to be a part of Unnecessary Roughness. And so I could definitely appreciate that. So shout out to my folks at the Jewels of Las Vegas. Definitely go check them out. If you're looking for something nice for the holidays, and it is that time, please believe. Even your boys got a couple of Christmas Halloween, or not Halloween, but holiday celebration kind of decorations around the house. That's the word I'm looking for. I so rarely have them. I don't even know what they're called. But there you go. The wife's put up a couple mini trees, got a little wreath on the door and everything. Like we've got a couple things here. It almost looks like we're a festive house, even though I've done my very best not to be a festive house. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, happy wife, happy life, right? So you got to make sure that, you know, you got to take care of home as well. So it is the holiday time. If you're looking for some kind of special gift, some kind of special item, maybe something you want customized, definitely go check out my fine folks over at the Jewelers of Las Vegas. Excited about the show that we have lined up for you this afternoon, as I am each and every time we have an opportunity to be with each other. Vic Tafer from The Athletic, he'll start things off with us coming up at 2:30, and he'll talk about just the team, you know, the way that they're 5-7 going into the bye week. What's most important for the Raiders in this bye week? Like, what do they need to get accomplished? Talk about the interim head coach and that title, and the fact that since, what, 2000, there's been 40-something interims, and only 10 of them have got the actual full-time job. His tag team partner, Tashawn Reed, also put together a really good piece on The Athletic. If you haven't decided to become a subscriber to The Athletic, you should. Pieces like that are fantastic. Vic put out a really good piece following the game on Sunday just about the train, the Antonio Pierce train starting to slow down a little bit, and then also let it be known that Marcus Peters was going to be waived sooner rather than later. Of course, that did happen on Monday. But I was reading the piece that Tashawn Reed put out earlier today on The Athletic. We'll ask Vic about it. They work hand in hand. But just the fact about the interim head coach and how no matter what you do, usually the chips are stacked against you. And again, 40-something interim head coaches have been in that position since the year 2000. And the Raiders have had four of them. Think about that. The Raiders have had four in that time period. And with that being said, only 10 of them have been promoted to the full-time job. And most of them have not been successful after they do. Now, I'm not putting that on Antonio Pierce. Every situation is different. But just throwing out the numbers and throwing out the facts there of what's been going on. So we'll talk to him, Vic Tafer, about all things Silver and Black coming up at 2:30. At 3 o'clock every single Tuesday, we talk to John McClain from Sports Radio 610 in Houston. We'll scattershoot all things NFL and like to have just an NFL guest in general each and every day because the NFL is a machine. They have found a way to create this machine where they move and they shake every single day of the week all year long. Remember there was a time when it was like, oh, football season. You do this during football season. You do that during football season. Oh, in the off season, everything's good. What off season? What offseason do they have? Like, there's like a small window of maybe a couple weeks at best where it slows down just a little. I mean, it used to be a time when I'm like, oh, yeah, wife, we'll do something as soon as the season's over. Okay, cool. And then it's like, well, when's the season over? I don't know. I don't know, right? You got the draft. You got free agency. The league has found a way to be relevant every single day of the week this year. They had the Black Friday game. First time ever that they took over Friday, they found a way to finagle themselves into the window where it was okay. So high school football didn't get affected. College football didn't get affected. And they're like, oh, yeah, hold on. We could put it in this window, and we're all good. So they've got a Monday game. They've got a Thursday game. They've got a Black Friday game. They've got Sunday, obviously. Saturdays during the playoffs. I mean, they've just got about every day of the week, right? And during the COVID year, if you remember, they had every day of the week. There was not one day during that 2020 COVID season that there was not a football game played. So the NFL, they are an absolute machine. So John McClain will join us coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll talk all things NFL. At 3:30, every single Tuesday and Thursday, we talk to Lincoln Kennedy, Raiders color commentator. We'll do the same thing today. Excited about the conversation we had with him. Him, JT, and Eddie Pascal did the Raiders roundtable earlier today. So if you're checking that out, you can. It's out right now. Check it out on the Raiders YouTube. Now, don't do it till the show's over. Like, I'm not telling you to go away from the show right now because why would you want to do that? You can go back and check that out later. But really good stuff. It's always great when JT, Lincoln get together, and, of course, Eddie is part of it as well. They all do a fine job. So definitely check out the Raiders Roundtable. But always blessed to have Lincoln Kennedy on the show every single Tuesday and Thursday talking Raiders. We always like to take a look back at the game that passed on Tuesdays. And then on Thursdays, we look forward to, well, the game coming up. So on Thursday, obviously, we're not going to preview a game because, well, there is no game. But we'll still look forward to what the Raiders have going on Thursday with Lincoln. But we'll look back at the game that was the loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll do that at 3:30 with the great Lincoln Kennedy. So those are the things we have live on the show today. 2:30, Vic Tafer from The Athletic. John McClain, Sports Radio 610, will join us at 3. And we'll close things out with Lincoln Kennedy, Raiders color commentator, at 3:30. Also, we've got sound from the Raiders locker room. We talked to many different players following the game. Josh Jacobs, Hunter Renfro, Meek Robinson. You heard from all those guys on yesterday's show. We have Jacoby Myers, Devontae Adams, Max Crosby, Amir Abdullah still to get to. So we'll get to at least, I say, Devontae Adams and Max Crosby on today's show, just kind of closing out the Raiders locker room sound. And then also, Vinny Bonsignor blessed us with some sound from Raiders assistant coaches. They all met with the media yesterday. I wasn't able to be there because, well, we're doing this show, Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. But defensive backs coach Chris Ash, tight end coach Jerry Szczepanski. I got to be very careful. You got to be careful with those S words, right? You start messing up the S words, you'll be in trouble. Passing game coordinator Scott Turner, running back coach Kennedy Polamalu, and then defensive line coach Rob Leonard. They all met with the media on Monday. So we have a few different sounds that we could bring to you as well. So we got a lot to get to on the bye week. Excited about, like I said, the opportunity to be with you for the next 3 hours, as we always are. And, of course, we'll hear from you throughout the course of the show at 702-365-9200 in the WBroke.com text line 69187, keyword R&R. Winning on the way as well. We like to always have some winners on the show, and so we'll see if we can dip into our bag of tricks and find some winning to give out on the show as well. As Ari's looking at me like, I don't know about this. I don't know about what you're gonna give out. Look, man, it's a season to give, Ari.
I didn't.
Why are you being
this?
A Scrooge?
I didn't approve this. No, I'm just kidding. We're always big on winners. So whatever you got, let's roll.
Well, I mean, like I said, we'll try to find some. We've got so much winning, and we got plenty winning on the way. I could tell everybody in advance that it's another Boyd game winning week. So yes. That means that we're going to be giving out tickets, or we're going to be getting folks in to win by Friday to get tickets to the Raiders-Minnesota game. So that's one set of winning. We've got the Ultimate Raiders hookup coming back as well, where we got tickets to a game, and we got a jersey, and we got field passes that we'll be giving out. We have a lot of winning here on the radio station, not to mention we've got a lot of tickets on the way from different concerts, basketball games, everything going on in and around the area. So even if I don't have something that I give out today, please believe we have a lot of winning on the way. So just like I said, excited about the show that we have each and every day here on Raider Nation Radio 920. With all that being said, let's go ahead and jump into the opening drive.
The opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM is brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
Before we jump into the opening drive, and I throw the topic out there that I like to do each and every day, had a couple of texts on the WBroke.com text line that I wanted to get to. This one's from the 806. Excellent intro. It's dark and hell is hot. DMX, baby. That's from the 806. That's shouting out my man Ari. Also, Big Dub Raider said, man, Ari, you stay in the East Coast deep cuts a lot. I love it. That DMX, it's hard. It's dark and hell is hot intro. Good stuff, Ari. Go Raiders. So there you go. Multiple listeners are giving Ari the thumbs up on his intros. And, yeah, that's one thing that Ari does, man. He'll pull out the sounds out of his bag, and he'll bring the heat. He loves every minute of it, too. He gets a big old smile on his face.
That's how I
hears
speak.
That.
That's I'm me not talking. Mad at
you. Yeah, yeah. Hey, man, you got to do what you got to do. So you got multiple texts already, one from the 806 and one from Big Dub Raider, and then we
appreciate
got one from
y'all.
Sir Whiskey Ray started us off. Q and Ari, I'm about to tune into the Hallmark Channel later this evening to watch our Raiders football season called Tis the Season to Break in Your Heart. Q, I've got a cold one for you and Ari. I got some rocky road. I think it's that time to watch this movie together. LOL. On the real, this KC defeat still hurts. That's from Sir Whiskey Ray. That is funny. Sir Whiskey Ray sound like a high school girl that just got broken up with, right? Going to sit on the couch, watch Hallmark movies, and eat Rocky Road ice cream.
Right.
That's
out of the
funny.
Thing. Right out of the
that
pint.
That is hilarious. Sir Whiskey Ray, I'm sorry, brother. I cannot join you in that party, in that festivities. I don't want anything to do with it, nothing to do with the Hallmark Channel, nothing to do with Rocky Road, nothing to do with being sad and sorrowful. And look, man, it's a good day to have a good day. It's the end of November, right? We're heading into December. We're still rocking and rolling. It's what we do. So, I'm out of that one. Maybe Ari, you could join them. But
Hallmark,
I'm out on that one.
No, I'm good on the Hallmark Channel, but you do entice me with that Rocky Road, so I don't know.
See how you are? Yeah, look, I'll tell you right now. If I could find a way to get Hallmark removed from my TV, I would.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
You could put like a parental lock on it, maybe. I don't know how well that
How am
go
I
going to
put a
wife,
parental
but...
lock when the wife is a parent?
I mean, you just got a password, and then she's like, excuse me, I'm an adult here, and you're locking me out.
Right, exactly.
I'm just
Please.
Telling you.
If I put a parental lock on Hallmark, what do you think she's going to do to ESPN?
Ooh, that is, you're right.
Or the NFL Network,
see,
or Fox Sports, whatever sporting channel I get, what do you think she's going to do?
That's why you're married and I am not.
She'd be like, hey, by the way, we're going to save about $12 by removing the sports package. We don't need all this. He don't watch it anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on now.
Yep.
This guy said,
don't do it. You're right.
Put a parental lock. You crazy. You trying to get me kicked out, man. What are you
I was
doing,
trying, man? But yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, you don't make any kind
route.
Of sense. See, Ari, that's why I like to roll with you, but at some point, man, you went too far.
Hey, all I know is I never have to watch the Hallmark Channel. That's all I know. So
that's fine.
I'm doing right.
You know what? You don't have to watch the Hallmark Channel, but do you get to play Papa Shot? Do you get to play Papa Shot at your house before you start the show?
Nah.
Me and the wife just played Papa Shot at the house. That's how I warmed up for the show. We played some Papa Shot.
Jared,
now, I won.
That's nice. Jared and I, in a very similar situation, were dealing with putting out a fire. So that's how
I put out a fire, too. I was on fire. I was making everything.
So, yeah, not quite before the same.
Before I left the house this morning to go to the radio station, I was like, man, I got to go ahead and get some shots in. So I put up 80 before I left the house. I just put up 80, and I was like, all right, today was a good day, and I rolled out. So then before the show was starting, I was like, hey, wife, you want to take an ass-whooping real quick?
Man, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. It
Maybe
is
we
fun.
We should get a little something here at the studio here. At the
no,
Lotus
no.
Studio.
If we get Papa Shot at the radio station, won't
yeah,
nobody
nothing
work.
Nothing will get done. Yep.
Nothing will get worked. So, yeah, we got it at the house. Man. I'm just waiting for Vegas Jess to come over so he could take that whooping too, because he deserves a couple whoopings. He's that guy that, you know, pushes off in the small on my back, so – there's that. He's always cheating it somehow. So he'll probably try to find a way to block my shot while I'm trying to take the shot. But, you know, it is what it is. Let's get back to business as we're in the opening drive here on Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. And the question I want to throw out there is a real simple one. In your opinion, what do the Raiders as a team, staff, players, or as a unit in general need to get accomplished during the bye week? They already waived Marcus Peters. They already waived Roderick Teamer. So as a team, as an organization, as a coaching staff, what do you think needs to get accomplished for the Raiders as it's week 13 already of the NFL season? What needs to happen this bye week? The obvious answer is get healthy. That's the obvious answer. Max Crosby, we know that he did everything he could to get on the field on Sunday. I know a lot of folks saw the video that's out there floating around of what his knee looked like, and it was a balloon, and the fact that he had to go to the hospital, and it's unbelievable how he even played, but he did. I think a lot of people saw that already. He has his podcast out, and so he talked all about it, so I'm sure a lot of folks know that. There's a lot of getting healthy that the players need to do, but as an organization, what do you think needs to happen during the bye week? That's the question I throw out there to you at 702-365-9200 and the dobybroke.com text line 69187, keyword R&R. Let's go out to the Bay Area. Let's talk to our guy, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Q, thanks for taking my call. A long time since I've called in. I think, I don't know if you remember, but I called I think it was around training camp and just told you it was the least interested I've been in a long, long time. And I was never a Patriot guy. I didn't believe in those guys from the start. I wanted Harbaugh last time, and I know I'll get to your thing in a sec, but I just wanted to say, you know, people who are saying, oh, Harbaugh, you know, his time's passed and this and that, that's just crazy. Everywhere that guy goes, he wins. It's in his blood. Look at his brother, what he's doing with Baltimore year in and year out. And look at his dad was a really good coach. If anyone ever gets a chance, they should go onto YouTube and just put in Harbaugh, Muhammad, Cassius Clay, what's my name? And if you don't get chills, I don't know. But it's in Harbaugh's blood, man. When you look at our division with Sean Payton, you know, Andy Reid, if we want to compete, we need to get top-notch. Let's not try to, like, you know, I wanted Harbaugh last time when we went after McDaniels. And, you know, if you look what he did with the Niners, how quickly he turned them around, got them from, you know, a play away from winning a Super Bowl. You know, this guy's just, I don't know, I'm hoping that's what happens. But anyways, as a team, to answer your question, Q, what we need to do over the bye is we need to work on clock management, one. Number two, play calling. Be more aggressive. Let's not go run pass. I think we were way too predictable in that second half. And so those are some of the things that I'm looking for coming out of the gate, out of the bye. We got to work on the play calling, and we got to be much, much more aggressive on offense, and especially at the end of halves. The clock management just has to be better. Thanks, Q.
All right, thank you for the call, Mark. I appreciate you. It's funny, I do remember that call where you were not excited about the upcoming season for every reason that you rolled out. I remember that call like it was yesterday, and I know that you weren't alone. There was a lot of folks that felt the same way. I know my man Mike always hits us up on Twitter, and he definitely was not feeling what was going on the year and a half with the Patriots staff when it comes to Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler. But it's a new day. Obviously, Antonio Pierce is the interim head coach, and, you know, I don't know how it's going to shake out when it comes to who the head coach is going to be. There's obviously going to be a lot of very well-qualified names that will be thrown out there. We know how this coaching search thing goes, which is unfortunate that we know that, right? Because, well, we've been through it so many times. I remember when Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler were announced and they had their press conference. We were live on the air here on Raider Nation Radio 920, so we actually played the press conference live. And I remember being angry because I couldn't be there in attendance. Because I'm like, man, this is a GM and a head coach. That doesn't happen all the time, right? When guys are introduced as a GM and the head coach, you really want to be there. That's important. You got to be there because, well, it's not like a head coach is named every other day. Well, when it comes to the Raiders, unfortunately, we've seen this happen more times than not, right? I mean, since they've been in Vegas, it's been what? Gruden, Bisaccia, McDaniels, now Pierce, and maybe Pierce moving forward, maybe someone else. I mean, that's a lot of turnover, and I know that Mark Davis is doing everything he can not to have that turnover, but I remember being so angry that I couldn't be in attendance because we had to be on the air, and there was no way I could work out being there, do the show, have the press conference, come back and do the show. You know, it just wasn't going to work. So to me, that was a big deal and a big miss. And, well, here we are again, right? Not too long after that, a year and a half. As far as, you know, getting what you said, like working on play calling and not being so predictable, I think that's a great week to do that, right? I've read multiple, you know, multiple pieces on what they've done with the playbook and you know, how they're using a certain part of it, and that's it. And that was, you know, obviously Josh McDaniels' playbook. So they've got to figure out what works for them, what they like, what they don't like, how they could be less predictable, like you said. I think that's a really good point, and I would love to see a little bit more creativity coming out of the bye week, because now there's film on Bo Hardigree. There's film on Aiden O'Connell. So just like you saw with Josh Dobbs on Monday Night Football, where he got picked four times by the Bears, like, people know who he is now. It's one thing to, you know, come and kind of surprise everyone, and this is what this guy can do, but when there's film out there on you, then it's like, all right, this is what he does really well. This is what he likes to do. These are his tendencies. Well, people are now picking up on Bo Hardigree tendencies, and you're starting to see defenses adjust, and you're starting to see plays get stuffed and go for, you know, a no gain or a loss. And that's because, again, they're keying in on these. So I would love to see, just like you said, Mark, I think that's a great point, them, you know, deep dive into the playbook, get a little bit more creative, maybe figure out some situations when they can call some of these plays that they may not have been comfortable calling early so far through these first four games with Coach Pierce and also Bo Hardigree. Let's go out to Jay. Jay, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, brother?
What's going on, Q? Hey, my friend. You know, just you were asking, you know, what do I want to see, you know, on this bye week, okay?
Yep.
So, really, I just want to go ahead and see the Raiders. You know, we started off so well. I mean, the first and second quarter. And then all of a sudden, we stifle.
Yeah.
I mean, we just – the third and fourth, of course, we become predictable. But the thing is that if something's working in terms of running, like that 60-yarder that Jacobs went ahead and just, you know, broke out. And I was just like, I mean, just jumping up and down. My head was going to hit the roof. But, you know, we go away. I mean, if you're a fighter and your jab's working, keep jabbing. Keep jabbing until the other guy all of a sudden starts to adjust. Then you go ahead and you alternate and you start actually using combos. But we don't do that, all right? And I understand that Bo is his first, you know, OC job, you know, in terms of offensive coordinator. But we need to go ahead and be a little bit more creative in terms of, you know, doing in certain situations, especially that fourth down, and we hand out the ball to Jacob. And of course, Kansas City was just kind of like chomping at the chops. They knew they were going to go ahead and give him the ball. I mean, he never got one step to go forward. Our line disappeared. You know, certain things, I mean, went away. And I just hope that we still keep, you know, the only thing is that I am proud to be a Raider. Because the thing is that what AP has actually brought is that pride, that Raider mentality, okay? And that, to me, means a lot. And I just hope, you know, that Mark, if he's going to go ahead and change coaches, he's got to go ahead and have somebody that knows this culture, that knows the Raider Nation. Because the thing is, the other two knuckleheads, and I'm not going to go ahead and mention their names, okay? You already know who they are, all right? They went ahead and did everything backwards, and they were alienating a lot of the staff, the people, I mean, the players. That doesn't work. You got to go ahead and be a people person. You got to go ahead and be a player person, okay? AP is. And I just hope that, you know, whoever it is, if it's AP, which I would be very happy, and if he gets his own people, that's going to be great. But if somebody comes in, and they hired, you know, the general manager, they got to go ahead and be people person. They just have to. And I just hope that we just come out with the same fire that we did on the first and second quarter, and we got to go ahead and duplicate it again on the third and fourth. We just can't go ahead and all of a sudden just disappear. That's, you know, that's what I want to see during this bye week. Okay, Q? So, you know, with that, I just want to go ahead and kind of like, go off. But, hey, I just want to go ahead and shout out to my Raiders, you know, family out there. Go Raiders! Okay, and we're going to go ahead and have a better week when we see the Vikings.
There you go. Jay, fire it up. I like it, man. Really good stuff. Appreciate the call. And, yeah, you know, it's funny. For years on top of years on top of years, I thought that, you know what, it takes a special person to be a Raiders coach. Like, you can't just throw anyone in there and they could be a coach and thrive. But the problem is it hasn't worked, right? It hasn't consistently worked at all, as we've seen what it's been like as far as playoff appearances. So when Mark Davis hired Josh McDaniels and hired Dave Ziegler, and I think what we're talking about is probably more of a McDaniels situation than Ziegler. I really like Dave Ziegler. Now, I don't know. I got to know him pretty well. I think that he was really trending in the right direction, and he was trying to do exactly what he was supposed to do for the team. And I know that him and Josh obviously had to conversate about this, that, and the other, and who to hire or who to bring in and who not to bring in. I think Dave Ziegler was doing a really good job, but that's a conversation for another day. But then when McDaniels came in, I was like, you know what? Well, maybe it doesn't take someone special. Maybe it just takes a coach that's ready to go and coach and make it happen. And so I was like, all right, let's give this guy a shot. You know, no problem. And it sounded good from a distance. It felt good from a distance. It obviously wasn't good. And so to Mark Davis's credit, he felt the same thing, heard what Raider Nation had to say, and decided, yeah, this is not trending in the right direction. We need to go ahead and make a move. Now Antonio Pierce has an opportunity to, you know, right the wrong for the final nine games of the season. We'll see what happens afterwards. But, yeah, I just, like I said, I'm kind of with you, Jay, where it almost feels like you have to understand the DNA of the Raiders to be able to coach the Raiders. You have to be able to do it at a high level. You can't just say that, hey, I know the history of the Raiders, and that's okay. It's got to be, you have to understand what makes this team and this organization tick. Jay, thanks so much for that call. Appreciate you. 226 at the time. Take a quick break. Come back. Vic Tafer from The Athletic. He'll join us here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
That was the opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Brought to you by Paul Padilla. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by PortaSubs. Make sure you check out PortaSubs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area PortaSubs, neighborhood sandwich shops. Order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
Yeah, I think definitely didn't play well enough in the second half. I think, you know, we tried to continue with our run game and had success with our run game. And then I think that we just had a couple three and outs that, you know, it's hard to do that against this team, to not, you know, put drives together. We kept our defense on the field for too long. And so we got to do a better job sustaining and, like you said, do a better job in the second half executing.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders quarterback Aiden O'Connell right there on second half adjustments and the fact that they've got to do better, clearly. They got up to a hot start and were not able to sustain it, only ended up scoring 3 points after getting out to that 14-0 lead. The Chiefs went on a 31-3 run and ran them out the gym 31-17 to close out Week 12. This is Unnecessary Roughness here on Raider Nation Radio 920. My man Ari, he's on the Wheels of Steel back in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. I'm here at Studio Q, which is the home studio. We definitely appreciate that. And let me find out, Aiden O'Connell got a little doggy dog and a little Snoop Dogg action going on there behind the scenes. I like that from my man Ari. I also appreciate our next guest that's joining us now on the phone lines, our guy Vic Tafer from The Athletic. And Vic, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you this afternoon. And saw the piece that you put out Sunday right after the game. Antonio Pierce train slows down with the Raiders' loss, and Marcus Peters expected to be released. We found out about Peters and Teamer on Monday being released, and the train slowed down as far as the hype around Antonio Pierce just a little bit with that loss when it comes to Kansas City and the Dolphins the week before. So where do you think Antonio Pierce stands right now as far as, you know, what Mark Davis is watching as he's trying to determine who his next head coach is going to be?
Yeah, I think, you know, AP will tell you, definitely the clock is ticking. He has to show that he can do this job full-time. There's definitely some positive signs. The players obviously bought in. They're playing hard form. I think they definitely had some good stretches, even in the two losses. So they just need to follow through. I can improve on the clock management a little bit and get some wins. I think wins the next five games can be what matters for him as far as getting the full-time gig.
That clock management and in-game decisions, like when to challenge, when not to challenge, is that something that you feel like with more reps he can learn a little bit better?
Oh, for sure. I mean, this guy was linebacker coach just a while back, so I'm sure it's kind of a lot of new information for him. A lot of guys who are talking to him in his ear and a lot's going on, you know, at that moment. So I'm sure it takes experience. Like he says, it's a growing pains for him and for Aiden O'Connell. So I think you got five games left here, and you kind of show both those guys and show how much they've grown just in the first four games.
Tashawn put out a piece earlier, and I know that you were a part of it, and you're aware of it as well, about the interim head coach and how rare it is for them to actually be promoted to the full-time gig. It's like 40-something since 2000. Only 10 of them have actually got the promotion. Why is it so difficult for that interim guy to get that nod?
Maybe because there's a thought going in that he wasn't really your top choice going in. He was just a guy on your staff and the guy you think of in terms of big things for his future. But I think there's definitely a possibility. I think in AP's case, obviously the whole Raiders culture and kind of bringing it back to the way. My friend Davis wants to hear that kind of stuff. And so he loves that kind of thing about the old mystique and bring back that, you know, the grit that they used to have. So that's definitely in his favor. So I think just the lack of experience is probably what hurts most of these interim guys. They have a chance to get the full-time job, but it's just a matter of winning the owner over. So I think he has a chance to do that this next
month. How much do you think it might help AP that they actually had nine games left when Mark Davis pulled the plug on the McDaniels experiment?
I think it helps them a little bit. I think definitely you never know when the perfect time is. I think the schedule definitely looked in his favor. The first two games are home games against, you know, not very good teams. So yeah, that definitely gave him a huge jump and kind of some momentum. So just a matter of kind of riding that out. You got a bye week now. It's kind of a weird time for a bye, but ideally the guys get fresh and they kind of can re-buy in when they come back.
Vic Tafer from The Athletic is our guest here on Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. That was a question I threw out to Raider Nation today. What do they feel like needs to get accomplished by the team, by the organization, by the franchise during the bye week? Health is the obvious answer. We saw Max Crosby. We know what he went through. But outside of that, what else do you think this team needs to do this bye week?
Well, I think somehow get the offense on track. I know he's not our second coordinator. We're still having the same problems. Devontae said he's frustrated, confused about why he got so many targets early and none late. So you have too much talent to not be scoring 20 points. I think they only had, 21 points once this season, which is pretty amazing based on the talent on their roster. So I know they've changed the coaches, but still the results have not totally changed. So the offense has got to break through, I think, for AP and for Bill Hardigree the next five games. The defense has got to keep grinding. I mean, it's going to be tougher for them because I know Marcus Peters is a bad ref. He made some bad plays, but are they a better defense without Marcus Peters? I'm not sure because he actually wasn't terrible overall. I thought he was fine in some stretches. He's had some really, really bad plays.
Yeah, I mean, the tackling was not there, obviously. I mean, he tried to make he made plays on the ball, and he got the one pick six against Detroit, but the overall effort just wasn't there. How much of that move and even the Roderick Teamer move for obvious different reasons was a culture thing, and maybe that was a statement from Champ Kelly and Antonio Pierce's, hey, this is how things are going to go here with the Raiders moving forward?
Yeah, and my guess is the Teamer thing came from Mark Davis. I think at this point, what's happened the last few years, if you have a DUI, you're done. Unless you're a star player and you can somehow, you know, massage it. But I think if you're a guy who's, you know, on the roster and not really a top guy, that's a credible offense. You can't do that in this day and age, and especially in this market, is what happened here.
Yeah, no, that's no doubt. And so as far as Marcus Peters, was that kind of a statement to the rest of the locker room?
Yeah, I think at this point, like, you're 5-7. So, I mean, you are trying to win games, but you got to see what young guys can do. Like, Jaquarian Bennett, he can't be inactive. I mean, if you're trying to see if he's a guy for your future, he's got to play. And so you have a guy, Marcus Peters, who's not really always giving maximum effort. So, you know what? I mean, maybe he's better right now, but maybe Jaquarian Bennett can be better with more snaps. So you got to pull that trigger and kind of move on.
Vic Tafer is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness. Going back to the game on Sunday in the offense, we saw the Raiders get out to the 14-0 lead. What do you think was kind of the turning point in the game that all of a sudden gave Kansas City that momentum that they never gave back?
Well, I think the Chiefs are a very good defense. I think that's for one. They should have made some adjustments. The quick, you know, slants weren't going to be there anymore. And I also think there was kind of a hangover effect. I think the Chiefs coming off the big rematch, Super Bowl rematch against the Eagles, Monday Night Football, they couldn't have been totally locked in to start off this game. I mean, they could kind of own the Raiders, so I think they weren't mentally as sharp the first quarter. I'd probably play a part in the 14-0 lead.
What about Bo Hardigree, the offensive coordinator, the play caller? It's been four games now that he's calling the shots. How much of a learning curve is he going to continue to have?
I think a lot. I think you see him kind of, it's where he's aggressive at times, and sometimes he's not. I'm not sure it comes from AP or not, which how much involvement AP has in certain calls. But he's trying. He's trying to get Adams more involved, and obviously Myers had a big game. So I think he realizes he has the weapons to be aggressive, but sometimes it's hard with the rookie quarterback, and you know, defense are doing different looks, different disguises. So it's kind of not always as easy as you draw it up.
Switching over to the defensive side of things, Max Crosby played after not practicing all week. He was doubtful. He was the first of 68 guys total, including himself, to actually play after being listed as doubtful. What did you see from Max on Sunday? And I'm sure you've seen the picture of his swollen knee or the video of his swollen knee. And how surprised are you that he actually was able to play on Sunday?
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm not surprised. I mean, he'll tell you himself he's a maniac. And he's like, yeah, Rob Leonard, we talked yesterday, one of the line coach said at one point, Max said, you have to kill me before I won't play against the Chiefs. So that shows you his degree of severity and how much he wanted to play. And yeah, the team feeds off that. I mean, I can't imagine his defense or his team without Max Crosby, so they wouldn't be anywhere close to 5-7. So I think he knows that. He knows he's kind of the guy, set the example, and he wants to play. He wants to be the best in the league, and he's not going to be stopped by any kind of swollen knee.
What are the chances that they decide to save him from himself and not make him active, just in case that, you know, that swelling or something doesn't go down over the bye week?
Well, I think we need, like, what, 5-6 guys to hold him down? I'm not sure they have those guys anymore. You got to bring back some of the old guys. Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to happen. I think, obviously, we'll do some more tests, but I have to imagine if he played that soon after being hospitalized and after all the problems, a week off will give him and the staff enough time to figure it out.
Yeah, I think that the bye week came in a perfect time. I just, at some point, I look at it and say, you know what, if he's not healthy, you might want to try to save him from himself. And that's something that Antonio Pierce has said to us in the media room. Like, you know, when he held Amik out, he's like, hey, I got to save the player from himself. And I know Amik and Max are not on the same level, but it's kind of the same understanding of you got to save the player for the long term. You got to look at the big picture as opposed to just the everyday game. But that was the Chiefs, so I felt like that was a little different because it was Kansas City.
Yeah, we saw all the stuff with Mahomes and that, you know, Netflix special, all the, you know, button heads and MF and each other. So clearly there's a huge, you know, two of the best guys in the league, a lot of respect, a lot of emotion. They have to play against each other to kind of show what they can do. So yeah, Max wasn't going to miss that game.
Final question for you. Aiden O'Connell had his best statistical game. He really did, and he only got sacked once towards the end of the game. He had a little bit of pressure on him, but he did pretty well. How have you seen him progress since he's been the everyday starter?
Yeah, I think he's been solid. I think you see the poise and the calmness, and he's not turning the ball over anymore. I think may have got lucky a few times in that game, but I think he's calming down a little bit. I think, to me, there's no question he's an NFL quarterback. The question is he an NFL starting quarterback? And that's a tough one. I don't know why. Again, we have to see more points. We have to see. It's all about results. There isn't enough weapons around him. Well, they got to break through and score like 30 points in the game at some point. The next five games, they kind of, I think, have a real shot. I'll be the starting guy next season.
Is there something specific? I mean, I know you're talking about wins and scoring points, but is there something specific you'd like to see from him to give you better confidence that he could be the starter?
Yeah, I think my main question with him is, like, the pocket presence. He doesn't seem like – he was holding the ball too long at first, and he's gotten a little better at that. But I'm not sure he's totally the best at moving his feet and getting an open lane. I think the accuracy, that was the big hype we heard about him, like he's so accurate. And that hasn't been great. I mean, he's definitely missed some throws the last few weeks, so – I got to see some more plays deep that are accurate and kind of tight spirals. So just the accuracy and, again, for me, the pocket presence. You got to show you can move around, buy some time, and get the ball off.
Good stuff. As always, that's Vic Tafer from The Athletic. What are you working on that we should be on the lookout for, my man?
I'm working on drinking some beers, eating some tacos, watching some hoops.
And nice.
Then, we are doing something about the rookie wall, and then we got stuff about the interim. Deshaun, I saw today with the coaching, that one with the GM. A couple days coming up.
I like it. I like it. Well, get your tacos and your beer on, man. Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. I like that. That's a great answer on the bye week, man. You deserve it. It's been 12 straight weeks. 13th week, you get a bye, and then, well, get ready to get back and finish off the season strong, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate you, brother.
All right, bro. See you soon. Have a good bye week.
All right, man. You too. There he goes. Vic Tafer from The Athletic. He said, I'm working on some beers. I'm working on some tacos, and that sounds fantastic to me. Sign me up every day of the week and twice on Sunday for beers and taco. I am good with that. Many thanks to Vic Taver from The Athletic for giving us a few minutes of his time. 2:43 is the time. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Got some calls that we'll get to, plus some texts as we close out hour number one of the show. It's Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920.
This is Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
702-365-9200. Also, the don'tbebroke.com text line at 69187, keyword R&R. Let us know, in your opinion, what do the Raiders as a team, staff, players, unit, what do they need to get accomplished during the bye week? That's the question I throw out there to you. Again, 702-365-9200. John McClain from Sports Radio 610 in Houston. He'll join us at the top of the hour as he does each and every Tuesday. But let's go out to the phone lines real quick. Talk to our guy, Raider X. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, so I want to talk about, you know, what I think they need to do. And,
okay.
You know, I really want them to focus, as they talked about earlier, you know, being uncomfortable. Being comfortable and being uncomfortable. And what I mean by that, there's already four games in. Training wheels are off. You know, they're not playing or coaching to keep the job. They're in the job. They're in the position. They are a player on the roster. But everybody needs to play and coach like they want to win or keep those jobs. If they fail, and it's already, you know, it could be a total implosion on the whole roster and the coaching staff if things continue to go south. You know, obviously, you know, they need to keep that momentum. Every player and every coach out there is playing, you know, to retain their job or to, you know, keep those positions on the interim level. And, you know, I really want them to look in the mirror and open up that playbook. You got nothing to lose. Stop playing like a prevent defense, per se. And go out there, open it up, make Aiden O'Connell uncomfortable. Make those receivers go out there be uncomfortable. Open it up and let them be a little more free. Go out there and truly challenge the team. Challenge the team to go out there and play like they want to create a new identity. I think that that line in the sand, putting it out there with Peters and Teamer, is going to speak volumes to changing during this bye week, letting everybody know, hey, you know, we're changing the culture. We're putting a line out there. We only want guys that are going to be dogs and players for the team. Or this locker room, not about themselves, about what we're going to do, you know, moving forward. Because it is, they turn the page. AP is a whole new page. And you know, and I do believe with him, he's a manager, not an X's and O's coach. They can get an offensive coordinator, a guru, a defensive coordinator. I think, you know, they're turning the page there. And we can make it happen if he can keep engaged and truly manage the overall tempo, the temperature, the climate of the team. I have faith that he can do that. This is, you know, I Googled some early press conferences from Tomlinson, and you know, and he has a lot of similarities. Listening to the way Tomlinson spoke earlier in his career, and then now, listening to him speak, such a wise, he's like an older player out there. He motivates the guys, and he can relate to them. It's like a mentor. I'm jazzed. I think they can do it. I think they have something there. If they don't, and we start seeing a couple more games down the road, I've got a bad feeling, man. Here we go. Reset, like you said. Another press conference, my brother. Hey, Raider X out, my bro.
Hey, Craig. Great call, man. That was a great way to close it out right there. That's right, man. Another press conference. That's something that you just don't hear of that often, right? You don't hear of press conferences, you know, a year in, a year out, year in, year out. I mean, honestly, again, I've literally been here in Vegas since 2021. It is only 2023. I've seen Gruden. I've seen Bisaccia. I've seen McDaniels. I've seen Pierce. Like, that math don't math. Right? I mean, just reality is that math don't math. And that's not what Mark Davis wanted. That's not what Mark Davis wanted when he hired Gruden. We all know how that shook out. We all know why that shook out. Don't even have to rehash that. Bisaccia, interim. Again, I go back to the article that Tashawn Reed put out in The Athletic. That's fantastic. I definitely encourage you to go check it out. 42 guys that before Antonio Pierce were named interim head coaches. Only 10 of them were promoted to full-time coaches since 2000. And the Raiders have done it four times. And I don't mean they've promoted guys four times, but they've had those interims four times. Going all the way back to Tom Cable. Right? He did get promoted. We all know how that shook out. Who else did they have as an interim? Rich Bisaccia. They had him. Now they have Antonio Pierce. There was another one in between that I forget about. But, yeah, they had – who was it, Tony Sperano? Wasn't he an interim for a while? I forget who the fourth one is, but that's the fourth time that the Raiders have had that. And that's not the business. So there's that. I'm trying to tell you who it is right now. I don't want to misquote. It was Tom Cable. What is it? It was Sperano. Okay, I just – there you go. There you go. See, that's why you got my back. I thought I had it by memory, but I just wanted to make sure. So there you go. It's just not an easy thing to do. But, you know, it was funny. I saw Mike Pritchard, who's a frequent guest on the show, obviously used to be on Raider Nation Radio 920. You hear him on the morning tailgate with Clay and Vinny and Lindsay at times. I saw him at the game, and I was talking to him about Antonio Pierce, and he told me straight up he liked the way that he leads. And he said, Q, you could find an X's and O's guy anywhere. So if your X's and O's guy is not the guy, like say Bo Hardigree, and I'm not trying to throw salt on his name, if he's not the guy, say the play call is just not there. Yeah, it's good, but it's not all that. And you want to do better. You could find a guy that could do that. He said you can get that guy anywhere. That's not a disrespect or a slight to the job, but you can't find a real leader everywhere. So what Antonio Pierce right now is doing is showing his leadership skills. And if he can show that this team could be, you know, relevant, fighting, competitive, go out there each and every week and not have those where the hell was that effort type game, then you're on to something. Now, obviously, you've got to win. Just like Vic Tafer said, it's all about wins and losses at the end of the day. And Antonio Pierce acknowledged that on Monday. He said, you know, what does he have to do this bye week? Well, he's got to figure out a way to get right. If he don't get right, he'll have more in this bye week to get rested up. He'll have plenty of time to himself. So he knows what the situation is and what he's got to do to handle it. But that leadership goes a long way. And that's something that I believe Mark Davis is really looking for, is that leadership. And I said it when Antonio Pierce took over. If they could finish this season, they being the Raiders, similar to what the Lions did last season, they did not make the playoffs. But they look like, okay, this team is trending in the right direction. You put a piece here and a piece there, they're going to be good. They're going to be a dangerous team, and look where they are now. If he could have this team trending in that direction, showing those kind of, you know, showing that kind of energy and effort and ability and possibilities, if that could be what they're looking at, saying, man, they look similar to the Lions a season ago. If they could do that, I think he's got a great shot to keep that job. And I do think having 9 games to show what he could do really does help, as opposed to a lot of these interim coaches that get it the last few weeks, like the Panthers. There's nothing the Panthers could do to make themselves look better. They're 1-10. John McClain, he joins the show next. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.